You are listening to a message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. For more information on City Church, or for additional resources, including service times, recommended readings, and additional audio, please visit citychurchpa.org.
Good morning. My name is Greg, and this is my good buddy, Ben. We just want to take a second to say, one, thank you so much for having us here this morning. It's a real treat for us to be able to be here and worship with you guys. And two, we just wanted to share a little bit about what we're doing in Harrisburg, planting a church. And I know of, like, no better way to share about that than to tell Ben and I's love story of how we met. So this is how Ben and I met. We met when we were in seminary together. Ben and I didn't always used to be friends. Not that we were enemies or anything. I just didn't know you existed, and you likewise to me. And so we were both going to seminary in Philadelphia while living in Harrisburg, which was like a two-hour commute one way. And we were working full-time in Harrisburg, both of us, not knowing the other one existed. We met in a Greek class where, you know how, like, in the beginning of class, sometimes you have to do those stupid icebreakers where, like, you say something embarrassing about yourself and then say where you're from. Well, during this one, we had to say where we were from, and I said that I'll spare you the embarrassing part, but I'm Greg, and I'm from Harrisburg. And then later, Ben said, I'm Ben, and I'm also from Harrisburg. And he pulled me aside immediately after that class and was like, man, we need to start riding together. And so we did. A few times a week, every week for the next, like, 3 years, Ben and I drove together. And during that time of, like, when we weren't busy flipping through flashcards, we became really, really close friends. And today, Ben is one of my best friends. I'm excited to plant a church with him. Our story kind of connected there for a moment and then went apart. Ben was a pastor at Community E-Free for, I think, about 8 years.
Almost 8 years, yeah.
And I was a pastor at a Baptist church in the area. And so Ben had it in his mind, and God placed the call in his and Whitley's lives to plant a church in Harrisburg. Community that the church that he was a part of, had about 30 people living in the city there. It was like this kind of, like, natural, organic, grassroots movement where God seemed to just really clearly say, like, look at all these people you have living in this neighborhood. Why not plant a church there? And so Ben was kind of over there doing that. Me, in the meanwhile, I was at a different church considering a church planting residency kind of separately, when one day the pastor that I was going to do this church planting residency with sat me down and said, Greg, there are a few, like, possible outcomes to your church planting residency. We could send you to plant in a neighboring city like Carlisle, or there's this guy named, I think his name is, like, Ben. You could plant a church with Ben. You could go help him plant Midtown Community Church. And it was this cool moment where I got to say, like, man, you're not going to believe this, but, like, I know Ben really well. We rode together multiple times a week for 3 years. And so that's kind of how this church plant sort of came about. Community had this in mind for years, and then just recently in the last about a year and a half, Liberty Church, the church that is sending me to support Ben in this, started to do that. So this is it's a church plant in a weird kind of way with two sending churches, two pastors, and we're really excited about it. So Midtown is a neighborhood in Harrisburg. So if you're familiar with Harrisburg, it goes from Forrester Street all the way to McClay and Front Street to about 6th Street. So it's about a square mile of the city in Harrisburg. And right now we have a core team meeting monthly of around 50 people that are going to launch this church with us. Our launch date now is in October of this upcoming year, and we couldn't be more excited to launch. What am I missing?
Yeah, basically where we're going. Like, so I'll just jump in. We just recently made the decision of like, hey, things are coming together and we think it's time to launch this church. We've been doing fundraising efforts that have been going really well. The Lord's really blessed that. People gathering, and so we just kind of set our launch date for October 1st a few weeks ago. So right now, we're like constantly looking at each other, trying to remind each other of like, hey, let's just not be stressed out. So, and even you'll see, like on our original timeline, we had set a launch day for January, and God kind of had different timing and different plans with that and the way that he's launching and getting this church off the ground. And so we just, the most recent news for us is we just recently signed a lease on a church building, and it's like probably two blocks from the Capitol complex in Harrisburg. It's right on the other side of Forrester Street. Beautiful old building right in the heart of Midtown that we're thrilled to be able to start meeting there. So our biggest need right now is to really get that building ready for worship gathering. So we're going to be putting a lot of time and effort into that. There's a picture of the inside of it and the sanctuary there. That's a picture of our last core team gathering there. So we're blown away by what the Lord is doing to see this church get off the ground. And yeah.
So a few quick things. Like if you would want to, one, learn anything more about Midtown Community Church, I would love to talk to you more. Ben would love to talk to you more after the service. We have quite a few of these like prospectuses that are like, I refer to them as like, these are like dating profiles for our church. Like if you just want a quick introduction to who we are, what we're about, and see some of our like core distinctives, come grab one of these after the service. Ben and I will both have them. And then if you could just like consider doing two things. One would be giving financially to Midtown Community Church. We have a goal of raising $500,000 before October. That number helps us stay afloat as a church for the first 3 years of this church plant. By the end of 3 years, our hope is to be sustainable from internal giving. So you could consider giving financially. And secondly, and honestly, genuinely more importantly, if you could pray for us, pray for Ben and I individually, pray for our families. I know both Ben and I feel like there's just this like felt sense of we are doing with our lives what God has designed us to do. For me, it's like this is the first time in my life I've felt like this, genuinely. At the same time, there's an unbelievable pressure and stress both on our lives and honestly on our wives and kids as well. So if you could keep our families in your prayers, if you could keep our core team in your prayers, we would really, really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
And now Ben is going to come and preach from God's word for us.
Yeah. Thanks, buddy. Okay. Yeah, thank you guys for having us. It's a joy to be able to worship with you here, and it's a joy to be able to open up God's word for us this morning. So I am jumping in here, and I'm going to be continuing in the sermon series that I understand you guys started last week called Why Do We Do That? And in this series, you all here at City Church are looking at the primary components that make up the life of the church. So you're asking the question, like, what are the building blocks of the Church of Jesus Christ? And what is so significant about each of those core building blocks to what makes up the church? And last week, Pastor Raphael talked, as I understand it, about the foundational building block that you see in Acts chapter 2, verse 46 of gathering together. We see in Acts 2 that the church is the called out, assembled, gathered people of God who leave their individual lives and agendas to unite their lives together under the banner of King Jesus. That fundamentally is what the church is. But let me play devil's advocate for a second here for us. Lots of different organizations gather together, right? Yoga studios gather together, book clubs gather together, tennis leagues gather together, hiking groups gather together. What makes the church distinct from these different groups that gather together? What distinguishes the church from all the different social clubs and organizations of our world? Because if we're honest, oftentimes that's how our friends and neighbors see the church. It's just another optional social club that we can either opt in or out of. And so the next four Sundays, you all here at City Church are going to be examining the difference between the church and these different other organizations that gather. And we're going to start this morning with this truth, is that what makes the church distinct from every other human club or institution on earth is that when we gather and when we open up the scriptures, God is present and God speaks. He does this through what Acts 2:42 calls the apostles' teaching. And so I hope that we all see together this morning that only when the church devotes itself to the scriptures can it be a healthy church. Because in the words of scripture, we encounter the living Jesus who is our very life. So in other words, if this church and we all as representing separate churches here this morning, if we don't devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, then we might as well spend our Sunday mornings going to yoga or going on a hike and then going to brunch afterward. But praise God that he has spoken. Amen. So let's turn to God's word, and I want to read that passage together again in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. And I'm sure by the end of this series, you guys will be like, okay, I think maybe it's time to spend some more time in another passage of scripture. But this is a good one to camp down in. So Acts 2, starting in verse 42. It says, "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." City Church, this is God's word. Let me pray for us that God would teach us from his word as we begin. Let's pray. Father, we come to you as people who are hungry and, as we sang earlier, people who are desperately in need. We need you, God, to speak to us from your word. And so we trust this morning, Lord, that as we come in faith, as we open up your word, that we are not merely doing a ritual to make us feel better, or we're not just gathering as another optional club or organization, but we are gathering to meet with you, the living God. And so as we open your word, Lord, we pray, would you speak to us? Would you convict us? Would you change us? And would you make us people more devoted to your word? We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. So we're going to approach our text this morning by asking two simple questions. So this is how I'm going to structure my sermon this morning. Two questions we want to try to answer this morning. Number one, what is the apostles' teaching? And number two, why should we be devoted to it? What is the apostles' teaching, and why should we be devoted to it? So first, what is the apostles' teaching? And I think another way of asking this same question is to ask, what exactly did the apostles teach to the early church? What was the content of the message that they proclaimed to the early church? And we don't have to look far, because right before Acts 2, verses 42 and 47, we have recorded for us a very substantial preaching, teaching from the Apostle Peter. We have some of the apostles' teaching right there in Acts chapter 2. Now, there's a lot in those verses that we could look at and unpack, and I'm sure many sermons could be preached on that one sermon. But to take you back to those chapters and summarize, I just want to look at one verse, chapter 2, verse 36, that I think summarizes the entirety of Peter's sermon here. It says there in Acts 2, verse 36, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." I'd summarize the message of the sermon like this. This is the message of Peter's sermon, that Jesus is the promised Savior and King of the Old Testament, who by his life, death, and resurrection fulfills every single promise that God has made to his people. The apostles' teaching, based on this sermon, it shows how the Old Testament points to and is fulfilled in Jesus. And then it says what this means for our lives now. That's what the apostles' teaching is. But to go back even further, like, do we get kind of a glimpse of this in the life and ministry of Jesus? Do we get an indication from Jesus himself what he wanted his apostles to teach and preach about him? Well, thankfully we do. In Luke chapter 24, the resurrected Jesus comes to these two men walking along a road, and he gives them what is the best Bible study probably that has ever happened in the history of the world. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 27, he says, Luke says about this interaction Jesus has with these two men. He says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Like, man, I would give a lot of money to be at that Bible study where Jesus walked through the Old Testament and unpacked the things concerning himself found there. He walks through the entire Old Testament and shows these guys that the whole Old Testament was about him. And then it says later in Luke 24 that these two men then go and tell the apostles about this interaction that they had with Jesus. Now, some Bible scholars have observed, and this is just cool to think about, that the sermons we see recorded in the book of Acts are likely the apostles applying Jesus' teaching about how to read the Old Testament in light of him. It's like them putting it into practice what Jesus taught them to do. And I would just say, encourage you this week, take some time and read the sermons of the apostles in the book of Acts. They are masterclasses in how we are supposed to read the Old Testament in light of the person and work of Jesus. So in other words, what is the apostles' teaching? Well, it's the message of the Old Testament and its fulfillment in Jesus, and its application to those living in this present age, which is what the New Testament is. And all of this together, the apostles' teaching is summarized in Paul's letters to Timothy as the apostolic deposit, or in Jude chapter 3, he calls it the faith once for all delivered to the saints. That is the apostles' teaching. Now notice, the apostles' teaching really is equivalent with the scriptures of the Old and New Testament. But it might be a different way of understanding the Bible than many of us maybe are prone to or have understood it. How many of you all have heard the acronym of the word Bible before? As basic instructions before leaving earth. Has anybody heard that before? Yes, it is dreadful and corny. But it's not, I think the worst part about it, although it is really corny, is that it's not an accurate description of what the Bible actually is. The Bible is not like the Christian handbook that we read that just gives us a way to live before we kind of get our get out of hell free cards and get off of this planet. It's so much more interesting than that. The Bible is a story of salvation with Jesus as our hero. The Bible is a cosmic drama where evil threatens the beautiful purpose of God's creation, but Jesus, the hero, breaks in to rescue us, to defeat evil, and to set up his kingdom forever. The apostles don't preach the Bible as generic instructions from God on how to live. The apostles preach and teach so that people, by their proclamation, and now us living in an age after them, as we read the scriptures, they preach and we read so that we might encounter the living Jesus as our Savior by his Holy Spirit. That's what happens. That's the goal when we open up the Bible. And so I would encourage you, church, when you open up your Bibles, don't read them mainly or primarily as the guidebook for the Christian life. If your Bible reading doesn't lead you to marvel at Jesus and his gospel of grace, then you're not reading your Bibles the way the apostles intended or the way that God intends for you to read your Bibles. The whole Bible is a story about Jesus. And so I would encourage you, church, seek him out in his word. Like, don't stop in your Bible reading until you have wrestled Jesus out of the text that you are reading. As the Jesus Storybook Bible says that I read to my daughter, Piper, often, every story whispers the name of Jesus. So, the apostles' teaching is the Old and New Testament scriptures understood as a unified declaration of salvation for the world in Jesus. That's what the apostle teaching is. Now, second question this morning, why should we be devoted to it? Why should we as a church, you all here at City Church, devote yourselves to the apostles' teaching when you gather together week in and week out? We could probably preach a sermon that's at least 3 hours long to answer that question. So I'm going to give four reasons why we should be devoted to it. This is not an exhaustive list of reasons. There could be many more. So why should we be devoted to the apostles' teaching? Number one, because that is how we stay devoted to Jesus himself. Now that might be intuitive based on what was said, but I just want to draw this truth out a little bit more. A gospel-centered church must be a word-centered church because the Bible's chief message is Jesus himself. Like we don't look anywhere else to encounter Jesus. If you want to meet Jesus, look no further than the Word of God, the Bible. In the scriptures, both Old and New Testaments, God has spoken to us by his Son. That's what the writer of Hebrews says at the very beginning to his letter there. He says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. Jesus is the climactic revelation of who God really is. And so if you want to know and encounter God, look no further than Jesus. And if you want to know and encounter Jesus, look no further than the scriptures, which are the word of Jesus. City Church, what will grow you in the grace of Jesus is actually coming face to face with Jesus himself. And that happens by staying faithful to the word of God. Now, let me ask you a question. When you show up here to worship week after week and you open up the Bible as a community, do you expect to meet God? I think that is primarily why we are given the Bible. God gave you his word because he wants you to know him. The Christian scripture is a gift and an invitation to us to know the living Jesus. And that's why you here at this church, why we at Midtown Community Church will be devoted to preaching and teaching from the Bible whenever we gather. Because we want to stay devoted to Jesus, and how we know Jesus is in and through his word. So, second way, a reason why we stay devoted to the apostles' teaching is because the Bible, the apostles' teaching, shows us what's true. Now, there have been a lot of conversations culturally in recent years about the troubles of social media. And I think that's rightly so, right? Like the Social Dilemma documentary on Netflix, a lot of different articles by different thinkers, like the articles that Jonathan Haidt has published in The Atlantic over the last few years. There have been a lot of public critique of social media for a lot of good reasons. And the thrust of the critique of social media goes something like this. When you open up your Facebook or Twitter feed or whatever it is that you check regularly, why do you see what you see? Well, you see what you see because you are seeing a personally curated queue based on artificial intelligence that predicts what you will want to see. If you look at posts and pages, for instance, for one political party, you're going to see more and more and more things from that political party, and probably things that drive you more into the extreme. And this, many thinkers have noted, has the effect of confirming what we already believe and not challenging the things that we believe. It's talked about that we live in an echo chamber on social media. But before we demonize the technology of social media, I think we need to remember that social media is a technology that's made by humans. And I think it reflects what we all as human persons want deep down in our hearts. We want people to affirm what we already believe, don't we? Like, that feels good. We don't want to be challenged or told that we're wrong, especially on matters that are central to our identity in person. We'd rather live in an echo chamber. And that's because in our sin, we all want to live with ourselves as the highest authority over our lives. And contrary to the scriptures, we have a cultural authority by whose words we live, and that ultimate authority for us oftentimes is ourselves. We live and want to live with ourselves as our highest authority. And if we're honest, many of us simply want Christianity and the church to function like an echo chamber for what we currently believe and how we're currently living. We want the Bible to affirm our choices and the way that we're living our lives. We want the church where we worship to be comprised of people that look like us, that have the same views on cultural issues that we do, that vote the way that we do. We come to church, and if we're honest, we sit under the preaching of God's word, and as we do, we don't want to be challenged. We just want a nice little pep talk that makes us feel better going into another week. Most of us, I think, if we're honest, want Jesus to function a little bit like an imaginary friend. Like he kind of does whatever we want him to do, and then whenever he's not convenient for us anymore, he just kind of goes away. But church, thank God that he did not leave us all to the echo chamber of our sinful existence, but spoke into our existence by his son. Like, God's word is a grace to us in that. He didn't leave us in darkness, but shined the light of the world, Christ, into our lives to reveal the truth. God has spoken to us in his word and declares to us truth from falsehood. We do have an authority outside of ourselves that stands over us, that thank God has spoken into our lives to proclaim what is true. And many applications can flow from this, but here's just one. We don't have to live with the burden of constantly trying to rediscover what is true. Church, we know where to go to find truth. When we open the Bible together, we are hearing truth from the God of the universe spoken into our situation. And the word of God, as it says in Hebrews, is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts through us and heals us with the truth. Like going under the surgeon's scalpel hurts, but it also heals. Jesus' word will challenge your own word and authority. Jesus will push back on your own sinful desires for your own life. Just read the Ten Commandments. He is not an imaginary friend or your personal cheerleader, but in the scriptures, you find truth that leads to life, words that are way better than you on your own authority could ever say to yourself, even though they challenge you, even though they might hurt and push back and confront you. And so, City Church, stay devoted to God's word, because only under the scalpel of its piercing truth can you be healed. Submit to the authority of the one who loves you enough to challenge you with the truth of his word. And let me say this too, like we live in confusing times today. Many of us, as we engage with our culture, we can feel like up is down and down is up when it comes to what is true. And yet, if you read many different studies about the biblical literacy of the church, you'll see that the church is functionally illiterate when it comes to the way that we know our Bibles. So if you find yourself confused about what's going on in our world today, church, God is not silent. God has spoken his truth into the world. If you find yourself confused, I would encourage you, study the scriptures. Like, commit to reading and studying the Bible as a church and an individual. Don't allow yourself to passively be formed by cable news and Netflix while you just sit back content and watch. Bathe in the truth of God's word so that you can be ready to give a defense for the hope that is in you of the truth of God's gospel and God's word. Third reason why we should stay devoted to the apostles' teaching. Because the apostles' teaching, that one faith, is the substance of our unity as a church. I don't think anyone will protest when I say that we live in a fractured and divided time in our country today. And this fracturing and polarization has bled over into the church. And like, not only are our conversations after work or around our dinner tables with extended family touched by this division and polarization, but the church feels the effect of our culture's polarization as well. Now listen to what Timothy Dalrymple, who's the president of Christianity Today, says about this in his article, "The Splintering of the Evangelical Soul." What a title. He says in this article, quote, "New fractures are forming within the American evangelical movement. Fractures that do not run along the usual regional, denominational, ethnic, or political lines. Couples, families, friends, and congregations, once united in their commitment to Christ, are now dividing over seemingly irreconcilable views of the world. In fact, they are not merely dividing, but becoming incomprehensible to one another." Close quote. So what is the church to do with that? What are we to do with that? One answer that might be derided as some in our world today to be too simplistic is that we need to return to the Word of God. In fact, devotion to the scripture is what grounds our unity as a church. Listen to the way the Apostle Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 4. This is verses 1 through 6. He says there, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity in the bond of peace. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So first, you see there, we're supposed to be eager to maintain unity. Like, we're supposed to jump at unity. That should be an instinct of ours as Christians, eager to maintain unity. But also, did you see what the ground of our unity is? What is the chief substance that unites us together as Christians? It's the one God we worship, the one baptism we've received, and the one hope and faith that we confess. The apostles' teaching grounds our unity. And so, City Church, the ground of your unity with one another is not who you voted for. It's not whether you live in the city or out in the country. It's not in whether you think the church should use the term social justice or not. It's not in your socioeconomic status or your ethnicity. Your unity is in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so my encouragement to you would be more devoted to what unites you in the apostles' teaching than what our culture says ought to divide you. You have more in common with one another in this room by virtue of your shared confession than those who share flesh and blood. Like, that's what the Bible means when it calls us in the church a family. Pursue unity by devoting yourselves to the scriptures together, to the confession of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Defy the identity categories that the world would use to divide us and rally around the proclamation of King Jesus. That's what we need to do in this day and age, church. We need to return to the unifying message of the Word of God. Fourth and final reason why we should be devoted to the apostles' teaching, because the word is what produces good works. And let's read verses 44 and 45 together again of Acts chapter 2 and look at the quality of life that this church possesses, this early church possesses here. Acts 2, verses 44 and 45. It says, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need." Now that is radical generosity. That's radical self-sacrifice for the good of one another. And I would argue, like, I think this kind of community is inherently supernatural. Like none of us get together and decide naturally, especially as Americans, that we really want to give away our money and possessions, right? Like, that's not what naturally happens in our hearts. Like, sell my stuff so that I can give away to other people? None of us are like, sure, I'm going to jump right at that. Clearly this is something that was produced by the Spirit of God. And I would say you don't get a community of radical mercy and generosity like this without the word of God. You see, it's the preaching of Peter on Pentecost and the church's continual encounter with Jesus in the word that this type of supernatural life springs up from. And think about the creation account in Genesis 1. Like, there's nothing. And then God speaks into the darkness and creates plants and animals who then bear fruit. In the same way, God, here at Pentecost and continually in the life of his church, speaks by his word and by his Holy Spirit and brings new creation into the hearts and lives of his church that then spills over into lives of good works lived in love for the sake of other people. We change by the power of God's word. It's God's word that produces new life and fruit in our lives. The church is the creation of the word of God. And so, how do you all here at City Church become a people who produce good works of love towards each other and towards this city? Stay devoted to the word of God and the gospel it proclaims. Like, we will never change as Christians by just simply outlining an 8-step process towards change. We change by devoting ourselves to the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ that's proclaimed in it. And I would say, don't just be devoted to this when Pastor Raph gets up on Sunday morning and opens the Bible. Be devoted to this in your own individual lives and in the lives of one another throughout your church, in individual conversations with each other, in your home groups, in your conversations at lunch today after the service. Proclaim the gospel of God from his word to each other. This is what we need from one another. Right? Like, so if somebody in your home group, right, that's what you guys call them here at City Church, home groups. If somebody in your home group confesses a sin that they're really struggling with, like they open up their heart and soul and are vulnerable about a sin they're struggling with, like, don't try to jump in and fix them and give them some sort of like process quickly by which they can get rid of that sin in their life and start following Jesus. But at the same time, don't just leave them floundering and hanging there. What they need from you as their brother or sister in Christ is to bring the word of Christ, to bring the gospel to them, to proclaim to them, hey, in your sin, Jesus loves you, not because of you, but because of him. We change by reliance on the word of God. The word is what produces works. When I started in vocational ministry, I worked as a student ministry director and then pastor. So I worked with high school students for 7 or 8 years, and I really miss it oftentimes. There's just something about working with high school students that I love. And like every year, this is one of the most special times for me in ministry. Every year at our church, we would do a Sunday that we designated to honor our high school graduates. So we would have them all come up on stage, and we would pray over them, and I would give them a charge every year. And every year, I came back to the same charge. This was a charge that I received my freshman year of college in a chapel at the school that I was attending. And it's something that's so simple, but it has stuck with me from the words of Deuteronomy. This is Deuteronomy 32, verses 45 to 47. It says, when Moses had finished speaking all these words to Israel, all the words of the law that all the book of Deuteronomy had just been spoken, he said to them, take to heart all the words by which I am warning you today, that you may command them to your children, that they may be careful to do all the words of this law. Now listen, for it is no empty word for you, but your very life. And every year I would get up, look our high school students in the eye, and I would read those three verses, and I would tell them, I don't have a lot to say to you, and this is just my personality a little bit. I'm like, honestly, you're gonna hear a lot of hoorah speeches over the next like month graduating. Like everybody's gonna be like, you can do it, you can change the world, and I'm just gonna keep things real simple. I would tell them, stay in God's word, stay in God's church. That was my encouragement to every single one of my high school students that graduated from my ministry, because that's what they need as they strike out into the world. They need to be reminded of the simple things that will keep them tethered to the Lord Jesus. And so, City Church, my encouragement to you today as we close would be the same thing. As Christ's church, stay in Christ's word. Value it. Hold it dear to your hearts. Devote yourselves to it. God's words are not empty words for you, City Church. They are your very life. Cling to them. And may it be said of you all that you are a people who are known for the deep delight that you have in the powerful and life-giving word of Jesus. That is way better than yoga and brunch. Let me pray, and then we'll take the Lord's Supper. Father, we thank you that you have not left us to our own devices, but that you have spoken into our life. And Lord, I pray for this church. I pray that City Church would remain a church, as I know that they are, that is devoted to the word of God, that is reliant on the apostles' teaching for their very life. Lord, may we never get bored with your word. May we never view it as something that is irrelevant. There is nothing more important that we devote ourselves to than to seeking out your word, because your words are our life. Help us to believe that today as a church. And as we come to the Lord's table, I pray that you would implant your word deeper into us as we taste and see that you are good. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from City Church, located in Williamsport, Pennsylvania. We hope God meets you where you are and doesn't leave you, but changes you through the work of his Son. For additional information, please visit citychurchpa.org.